Hey, it's Kate. Today, we're bringing back an episode from earlier this year. It's about a food item that, despite record inflation, has mostly maintained its price. Reporter Annie Gasparo takes us through the history of the rotisserie chicken and explains why grocery stores want to keep this beloved poultry dish affordable. This episode originally aired in June. Here it is. Hope you enjoy. Good deals are hard to come by these days, but under the amber glow of a grocery store heat lamp, you might find one.
Okay, I'm walking back to the rotisserie chickens.
That's our colleague Annie Gasparo, wandering a big box retailer in Chicago.
They're just like in these plastic clamshells, but they are perfectly golden brown and crispy. And oh my gosh, it is $4.99. And the lady in front of me just got the last one.
Annie reports on packaged foods. And she says for a lot of shoppers, those chickens have been a golden goose. Especially now, when consumers are feeling the pinch from the worst inflation in decades.
Food at home prices increased by 11.9% year over year.
Dairy products went up 2.9% last month. Grains and bakery products, 1.5%. Meat went up 1.1% and eggs 5% in just 1 month.
The typical American household now spending $250 more a month to purchase the same goods that they did last year.
But that classic golden brown rotisserie chicken has bucked this trend.
It's the one dependable thing at the grocery store right now. Food packages are getting smaller. The selection's getting smaller. Prices are going up. So just like seeing those chickens spinning on the spigot in the back of the store, just like they always have been, it's really one of the only things that hasn't changed since the pandemic, since the inflation, when everything else seems to be getting more expensive.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. Coming up on the show, why the humble rotisserie chicken has stayed inflation-proof.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Americans love rotisserie chicken. They eat nearly a billion a year. Annie says America's love affair with rotisserie chicken started a few decades ago. When shoulder pads were in, Ronald Reagan was president, and Madonna was a new young artist.
It was really in the mid-80s that this idea of being able to buy a rotisserie chicken fully made, ready to go, ready to put on the table that night, already warm, really came about. And Boston Market, then called Boston Chicken, it was really the pioneer of this concept that would change the way Americans approach chicken and chicken dishes.
They're serving something you remember called real meals, a place called Boston Market, built around ovens, not microwaves or fryers. Slow-roasted rotisserie chicken.
Boston Market was the brainchild of Kip Colo and Arthur Corse. They were childhood friends who grew up in Massachusetts, and they're credited with starting the whole rotisserie craze. We spoke to Colo. He's moved on from Boston Market to another chain called Cowboy Chicken, and he says he still eats a lot of chickens a year.
Boy, it would be a guess, but I would probably say 100 birds. We eat chicken a lot, but when it's cooked right, there's nothing better than a rotisserie chicken.
Colo's devotion to the rotisserie chicken starts with the cooking process.
You can hear the chickens pivoting as they go around, and you can hear them pop. You, as the heat is penetrating the skin and the skin is bubbling, you can actually hear it bubbling, and you can hear the shh of the juices hitting the pan on the bottom. It's really satiating to watch.
And along with the rotisserie chicken, Boston Market sold its warm, homey sides.
Real mashed potatoes, squash and brown sugar, honey-baked beans, glazed carrots and tarragon butter, all made from scratch, immediately available, and warm. So this was really a novelty for a lot of people, and it really worked.
They wanted to find a way to give people a hot meal you could, like, take home and put on the table that night, put on your own dishes. It didn't feel like fast food. It was like a whole family meal. I know it might not sound like it now, but it was really revolutionary. And it started becoming more popular because it was at a time when a lot of women were working again. And that meant there wasn't someone home all day to have a chicken in the oven. And this allowed people to feel like they were feeding their families a real meal on the dinner tables, gathering together, but not having to prepare it all day.
It was so popular that rivals started doing it too, like Roy Rogers.
Welcome to Roy Rogers, where the chickens come home to roast.
Even KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, got into the game.
Hey. People are talking about the Colonel's Rotisserie Gold Chicken at KFC.
They marinate it. You can tell it's slowly roasted.
And one big competitor focused specifically on rotisserie chicken, just like Boston Market.
It was by Kenny Rogers, the singer.
Country singer?
Yeah, the country singer who sings that song, The Gambler.
You got to know when to hold, know when to fold.
Kenny Rogers used his name to start this restaurant chain to compete with Boston Market. And they did really well, too. You know, all these chains, like, they're also finding a way to do it in mass and to really scale up to reduce costs so that they can do it for a really, really cheap price. So that's kind of how the industry started learning how to scale up these operations.
But when I think of rotisserie chicken, I think of them in grocery stores. So how did they go from these chains to supermarket aisles?
Well, Boston Market was really smart, and they strategically put their locations near grocery stores, thinking people will go to the grocery store, pick up their groceries for the week, but by then they won't have enough time to cook for the night, so then they can drive through and get a meal for that night. And that made the grocery stores take notice.
By the mid-90s, supermarket chains had caught on. In 1994, Costco and Kroger began selling rotisserie chickens. And soon, these chickens were the top-selling hot food item at many grocery stores. One reason people loved them was because they were a life hack. Millions of shoppers relied on rotisseries for a cheap and versatile protein that could stretch into multiple meals. You know, chicken tacos, chicken soup, chicken sandwiches. And Annie herself remembers the golden age of rotisserie chickens fondly.
I was a child of the 80s, early 90s, and my mom was a horrible cook. And so we survived on, like, Wendy's and rotisserie chickens pretty much. You take the plastic off the top and it just, like, the smell, like, wafts out of the plastic, and that reminds me of home and childhood. That and a junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's.
And of all the supermarkets, who is the king of the rotisserie chicken?
Costco, hands down. They have just made it a huge selling point, a huge priority, and they made rotisserie chickens their thing.
How did that happen?
First, Costco wasn't really doing anything different than anybody else. But over the years, everybody else started raising their prices. And Costco has maintained them at $4.99 despite inflation, despite labor costs. I mean, everything has gone up. And since 2009, their chickens have been $4.99.
But now the humble $4.99 rotisserie chicken faces a big challenge. Rising food costs and inflation, which are putting many products out of reach for shoppers. Can it stay cheap in this economy? That's coming up.
This is This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. C3 Generative AI enables rapid access to secure, traceable, hallucination-free insights from enterprise systems, all while using any LLM, helping enterprises turn the invisible into the obvious. Learn more at c3.ai.
Inflation right now is the highest it's been since before the dawn of Boston Market and the rotisserie craze. Prices are up at the pump, in the housing market, at the barbershop, and of course, at the grocery store.
Oh my gosh. In May, inflation was higher than it had been in over 40 years. So everything's going up. It's crazy. Inflation is being driven by weather issues, pandemic issues, the war in Ukraine. There's just so many factors hitting the food supply right now. Just personally, I often buy Chobani yogurt at the store. And I noticed that I used to always get like 10 for $10 and there was always a deal. And now the deal they were advertising recently was 2 for $3. So that's a 50% increase on an item. That's just one example, but there's so many examples of products getting more expensive, cereal boxes, pasta sauce jars getting smaller.
Has the price of raw chicken gone up too?
Yes. And their feed costs are up. There's labor shortages. So labor costs are up. Fuel costs are up. So poultry products in general are rising a lot this year.
Yet somehow, for the most part, rotisserie chickens are maintaining their prices. So if the price of raw chicken is going up, but the price of rotisseries aren't, then supermarkets must be losing in there somewhere.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's like a strategy in grocery for selling things that maybe at a price below what the grocer paid for them. Can you explain this idea?
Yes, the loss leader.
A loss leader. Stores keep prices down on things like milk and eggs and hot dog buns, sometimes losing money, because it gets shoppers in the store, where hopefully they'll spend on other items.
So the whole strategy is that you take a loss on one item for another gain. And that other gain might be that it brings more people in and causes people to spend money elsewhere in the store.
And you can sell the potato salad above cost.
Exactly. Or even, I mean, in the case of Costco, literally like TVs and a new roof. I mean, they like have everything.
And Costco has really held firm on its price for rotisserie chickens, though the company has pushed back on the idea that rotisseries are always loss leaders. Last year, the chain sold more than 100 million rotisserie chickens globally. And a few years back, Annie spoke with Costco CFO Richard Galenti. At the time, Annie says Galenti talked her ear off about chicken strategy.
Gosh. He got on the phone with me and just talked to me for an hour about rotisserie chickens and just how Costco has bent over backwards to make this such a selling point for their stores and how they're very strategic about where they put the chickens in the store and getting the size right. He was very proud that Costco's chickens are like twice as big as a lot of the other grocery stores' chickens.
Costco's strategy was tested in 2015 when an outbreak of the avian flu killed millions of chickens and prices for eggs and poultry soared. And what happened to the price of Costco's chickens that year?
Nothing. They stayed the same price. Costco just took a huge loss. They lost like $30 to $40 million that year because they kept the price the same.
On a conference call that year, an analyst asked Galenti why they kept prices so low.
What is your philosophy about chickens and chicken rotisserie chicken pricing?
I can only tell you what history has shown us is that when others were raising their chicken prices from $4.99 to $5.99, we were willing to eat, if you will, $30, $40 million a year in gross margin by keeping it at $4.99. And that's where that's what we do for a living.
After losing millions to keep rotisseries priced at $4.99, Costco made a big investment to help keep rotisserie costs down. In 2019, the company spent $450 million to open a chicken plant in Nebraska.
I think that speaks to like how important this is to their business model, that they're willing to invest that much in their own processing plant to be able to maintain that price and to really just invest in rotisserie chickens. Like, that's a huge indicator.
If Costco said they're not going to raise the price of chicken, is that like forever? It's going to be $4.99 in like 20 years from now?
Do you think that Costco will be selling like flying cars and their chickens will still be $4.99? That is definitely the big question. On Costco's earnings call, I think it was last year, the CFO said, "We aren't raising prices." And he said they were still doing things to keep the costs down. In addition to opening their own processing plant, they were working on making that plant even more efficient. And they're trying to mitigate the impact of these price increases on their bottom line. He said they aren't going to raise prices. And who knows how long he's looking into the future when he says that.
When reached this week, Galenti said the company doesn't disclose its cost structure. And he said its rotisserie chicken is a great value. And other companies seem to be dedicated to keeping rotisserie chicken prices low, too. At Sam's Club, they're $4.98. At Kroger, I saw one listed for $7.99. I recently got one for $8. But if that changes, it could be a bad sign for inflation.
If it got so bad that even Costco raised prices on rotisserie chickens, it's like a barometer, like an economic index, the rotisserie chicken economic index. It would signal that we've entered a whole new level of inflation and a whole new era for consumers, that like this is not something they can rely on anymore.
This episode was originally published in June. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a new episode.